This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
And for Sean Pendergast, I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne here. We've got you till 10 a.m. You'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610. 572-4610, the 5-hour energy fan line. Somebody texted in, Seth, who over at NRG is going to be an adult and try to put the fire out instead of adding more fuel to it?
And, good question.
You know, we've kind of talked in and around that earlier this morning, more specifically with, you know, the Aziz Alshire stuff and his quote unquote response, which was a response not to the suspension. It was a response not to the hit, but it was a response to all of the criticism and hate and vitriol and commentary he was getting on social.
It was a response to the severity of the length of the suspension, too, I think. It was two things. It was a response to the length of the suspension, and then it was also a response to the wording of the statement.
Well, yeah, and it depends on what response you're talking about. I was more referring to, like, the picture collage, you know, where, like, hey, you want me to be the villain? I'll be the villain kind of a thing. And I took that as strictly a response to people talking about his religious and political beliefs, you know, with the pro-Palestine cleats that he was wearing and his you know, just known kind of public belief and viewpoint on things. And he even had a quote, you know, that he was talking about praising Allah and stuff like that out there. So, like, that's one side of it. And it's always going to be taken to another level and maybe a point where is unnecessary. But if it's out there, it's out there.
Well, right. Yeah, I guess that. But that's where it gets tricky because, you know, without Caserio explicitly saying that, I think that Alshire has faced a lot of public criticism. Not all of it has anything to do with any of either his religion or anything else like that. But a good chunk of it, especially from the ugliest side of the social media public.
Yes.
A lot of it has been that.
Yes.
I don't think that was, like, you couldn't detect that in the league statement or anything.
No. But
that statement from the league is similar to, like, what other suspensions have been with some guys like Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
But I think in keeping in mind backing up their player, for Caserio, I could see where it's the sum total of everything. It's like the onslaught of criticism that Alshire has probably faced personally and whatever is filtered through to him. Yeah, he was trying to back him up on all fronts.
He was responding to, you know, media types, kind of like the one that we played last segment, you know, Jeff Saturday's reaction and, you know, other things that have been written. And then obviously the John Runyon thing. And specifically the suspension, it being too harsh in his opinion. But the reason why I brought up the social media post from Alshire is that you cannot, I haven't seen it yet, you cannot put a fire out on social media.
Uh-huh.
Once it's been started.
Yeah, it's not going to happen,
It's not going to happen, but you can, you know, kind of quell things or tamp things down, so to speak, when you've got a camera and a microphone in front of your face and you're a general manager of a football team. And I thought, you know, as much as I, like many of us, maybe most of us, enjoyed seeing that unification from D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio on the matter, I enjoyed it. I love it. I love that passion. I like it when my general manager goes up there and cusses his ass off. Like, I enjoy that stuff. And then mainly because I think he's right, I just didn't like the timing of it after the fact, because maybe there was a chance that the suspension's reduced. And if it wasn't, then you know what? So what? The damage has already been done. You move on and you got your, you got your two cents in. And that's kind of where I was lying there. I don't think the Texans, in hindsight, did the best job of trying to put quote-unquote fire out, but I don't even know that it was really possible.
Well, was it possible? And then also, though, all right, are the Texans now kind of being scrutinized by the league? Because the guys who have had multiple game suspensions for unsportsmanlike conduct, the two guys whose names keep coming up are Denzel Perryman and Kareem Jackson. Now, Kareem Jackson got his punishments while he was with the Broncos, but the Texans did bring him into the organization last year after he'd been suspended for that stuff. Denzel Perryman didn't really have a lengthy penalty history before last year with the Texans, and then he ends up getting suspended for illegal hits, for an illegal hit. And then likewise, now it's Azeez Alshire, who goes from zero suspensions ever, zero ejections ever, to a three-game suspension. That, all right, maybe the league already felt like, all right, D'Amico's brewing up a toxic situation down there in Houston.
Yeah.
And those Caserio and D'Amico responding the way they did is not going to take any of that heat or scrutiny off. I think that might end up being something that maybe during the bye week, that maybe Caserio, to address the texter's question about when is somebody going to be an adult and try to take some of the heat off, maybe that's something that happens through back channels, talking to people in the league, trying to figure out, all right, exactly, please give us a better explanation for exactly why this was a three-game suspension. Because I know that a lot of the Texans' questions that there's people within the Texans who feel like their questions have not been answered or addressed by the league, even behind closed doors.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And look, as far as like the Texans, taking this villain role, we've seen many teams over the years be far more egregious and, you know, have many more of these situations, like this repeatedly on in a season. The Texans have like barely hit the tip of the iceberg here. And so I really don't think they're going to be leading the charge to like, oh boy, this is like an epidemic in the NFL. And the NFL is going to make the Texans as this example. And we've got to stop this culture that D'Amico's creating.
The thing that bothers me about the Azeez Alshire stuff is that I feel like it's more the quarterback dynamic to it. The fact that it was a hit on a quarterback more so than anything else, because we've seen guys like Vontaze Burfict be literal headhunters and go after guys and hit them helmet to helmet when they're defenseless receivers. Mm. Alshire's not a headhunter. You know, Alshire lays some big hits. He does. I've said it before any of this, that, man, he's probably got to dial it back half a tick. There's just a little bit, the sideline punch in the Chicago game, all of those things. But that's an interesting scenario, because people point out that whole sequence of events without pointing out that the hit on Caleb Williams that led up to that was a legal hit that came when a quarterback kind of tiptoed on the sideline and maybe was trying to fool a defender into thinking he wasn't going out of bounds. That was a legal hit. The hit on Trevor Lawrence itself was not headhunting.
Yeah.
It keeps getting presented as a, like, that he targeted, it's been presented as helmet-to-helmet contact, which it was not. It's presented as targeting the head, which it was not. All of these things, that's not what Azeez Alshire has been as a player. He's been a guy that pushes the envelope, but he's not a headhunter.
Look, man.
And yet he's being maligned as a Vontaze Burfict type character, and he simply hasn't been that guy.
Yeah, and I don't think you're embellishing the narrative that's been created either. I think that's exactly the picture that is trying to be painted and has been painted, to be honest with you. But, dude, come on. Hey, you're a former NFLer. I've heard this from, who said it? I was talking to another former NFL guy the other day, and they were saying, like, hey, you know, leading with the forearm, that's kind of, you know, what really did the whole thing and, like, where the forearm landed. I'm like, do you Zapruder the hell out of this thing like everybody else has? Initial contact was made on left shoulder and then into the chin area.
It slid up into the chin area.
Yeah, it slid up into the chin area. Head bounced off of the turf, the whole thing. But somebody told me, I can't remember who the hell it was, like, they're supposed to take their arms away when
so
making
it
a play like
that. So it becomes a missile that, who's then it's launching.
Dude, then it's launching. And then what right. do you make yourself susceptible to? Helmet to freaking helmet. And then right. you can paint that damn picture about a headhunter. It's like, what would we be talking about today if Azeez Al-Shaair would have like launched like Superman and smoked Trevor Lawrence in the face mask and then his head bounces off the turf?
Look, we've seen this multiple times before, too, where you can tell when it's clear and obvious, like a defender is trying to avoid contact, but when he's flying over the defenseless guy, they end up making contact because the guy, if you're sliding, and that's what's about, I think that's where it bothers people. Usually with receivers, they are genuinely defenseless. Mm-hmm. Like they're catching a ball, they're coming down, there's absolutely no control they have in what happens to them. With a quarterback, when a quarterback slides late, they're sliding into danger. Where if Azeez in that instance, let's say Azeez in that millisecond amount of time to make a decision had thought, oh crap, I got to try to go over the top of this guy. Mm-hmm. I think he hits him in the head. And yeah. and then is that somehow a better alternative?
No.
For him? So you can't have it both ways. You can't claim that Azeez could have made the decision to not go for the tackle, but also, like, you're also claiming that he was trying to go for the head, he just couldn't hit it. Like, I feel like he did, once he made the decision, okay, maybe the original sin was in him trying, like, deciding to make a tackle because he didn't know whether Lawrence was going to slide or not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the original sin. After that, I think there's about nothing else he could have done that wouldn't have been worse in that moment.
Man.
And that's where the helmet, like there's no Vontaze Burfict element to this play where he was specifically trying to concuss this guy. I just don't see it.
I don't understand why people don't listen more intently and respect the opinion of people, logical people that have played this game before, such as you. And most of the other people that have been in front of microphones and cameras this past week that in large part have sided with the Texans, so to speak, in that, hey, what else do you want Azeez Al-Shaair to do? Because you've played the game. You know how fast it goes. All you dorks out there want to freeze frame, you know, like the 6 yards that separated Al-Shaair and Lawrence before the hit occurred and don't have any understanding at all how fast 6 yards closes within that time frame. It's ridiculous.
Well,
like, oh,
no,
well, he could have made this decision instead and landed
Sean,
here.
And I'll go back to when they first started to try to police the unprotected receivers and everything. I've been pretty consistent on this throughout. I was a former player who said, listen, I do think defensive players and defensive backs in a lot of these hits that used to be allowed, at the time I thought, no, I think there are times where, yeah, they are able to control with more precision where they attempt to hit. And we've seen that over the course of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
A lot of safeties who in a previous generation might have been Steve Atwater, might have been headhunters. Guys like Justin Reed, I think Jalen Petrie does a good job of this. They've learned how to make the clean and legal hit. They know how to go after the torso. Because with a receiver, you can see the trajectory. You can understand, all right, this is where the guy's going to be, even though it's happening very fast. When you're going at closing speed, like when Trevor Lawrence and Al-Shaair are running at each other at great velocity and you don't know whether the quarterback's going to slide or not,
yeah,
it becomes the level of difficulty becomes amped up by 10 degrees, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you watch that in real time behind Al-Shaair, when you watch the angle from behind Al-Shaair and watch it at real speed, I think you get an appreciation for just how impossible it is to make. It was either going to be, Al-Shaair was very much in a position where he could have pulled up and Trevor Lawrence could have kept running. And like to make that decision in split second time, I don't think it's possible. And that goes back to without blaming, because I'm not going to blame Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence is playing by the rules the way the rules like currently are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I won't blame him. But I think the way the rule is now, it invites situations like this because quarterbacks can slide when they are putting themselves in imminent danger. And they've just got to change that part of the rule.
100% correct, in my opinion, man. That's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani at Sports Radio 610, in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, we'll talk to the fellas. Reggie and John out today, but in, my guy, my dog, Patrick Creighton and Luke Morrow are in. So we'll holler at them, and we'll get to why I think the Texans are in much better position now than they were earlier this season. I'll explain next. Stay there.